Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon on a Thursday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, for the next couple of hours. Lots going on. We're going to be busy in the next couple of hours, and we will get to the end and promise we will not forget Klaxons on a Thursday. We'll do that just before we get out of here. But the BMW Des Moines guest list looks like this. We're going to start with a couple of the regional NFL teams with the Packers. They will take on Tampa Bay. We will get to Dave Sinekin, no longer the headcheese.com, but we will get to Dave Sinekin regardless. What's his site again? It's not fan sided.
Zone coverage?
Zone coverage. Well done. Good memory on you, TC.
I was just looking at his profile.
Were you? Okay.
It was lucky.
Zone coverage is where Dave Sinekin writes for. You can read him there. You can hear him with us in about 20 minutes or thereabouts. Nick Athan on the Chiefs and the Colts. Then Lee Sterling has got a handful of games to opine upon. He will join us to do just that at 10:50. Pete Futek from College Football News will join us to kick off the second hour of the program. Cappy, who's in the midst of his fundraising 20-something mile walk, we're going to join him from the walk as he will chime in here about 11:30. And again, Klaxon's barbecue giveaway coming up here at about 11:50. You haven't played in the last 30 days. You're welcome to do so here. No longer Klaxon's on Friday, assuming we remember to do it on Thursday.
It's a big assumption.
That is a big assumption. Anyways, how you doing?
Good. It was an interesting night of sports viewing last night. Guess what pulled me in, got me riveted last night.
So what did you watch? The Twins were taking on the Royals.
Out.
Two teams.
I had it on.
Out.
I'm not going to lie. I had it on.
I watched a little bit of it as well.
What are we doing?
Yeah, really.
What are we doing with our lives?
I stuck with the White Sox and the Guardians last night.
I'm thinking maybe there'd be a comeback. Something.
Maybe.
McKenzie was really good.
He really was. He really was.
That's a nice number two after Bieber in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll say. Trent, you're right about this team.
You're right.
There's something about them. And they're a decent price.
Yes, absolutely.
So worth a look there. So that's where, and then, of course, I was on the Phillies and the Blue Jays for a while, but that was
we didn't get the over on that one.
No. Where were you last night? The Yankees and Judge.
Nope.
Okay.
It wasn't baseball.
It wasn't baseball. What else was on last night?
ESPN2.
Yeah.
And it flipped over. It was beginning of the second set. Kansas was hosting Texas, who's number one in volleyball this year. And it was thrilling. And you know, I call
volleyball.
High school volleyball.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the sport. I love playing the sport.
I think you enjoy the paycheck better.
Well, that's a good one thing. Uh-huh. No, I've always enjoyed volleyball. I had a pretty good jump serve in high school, so I come in and help out
how
the volleyball girls.
I didn't know that about you.
Yes, back when I had a little athleticism to me. But I've always really enjoyed the sport. It's not just me being flippant. I actually do. And it was so high level. The crowd was into it. I don't even know where they play. It wasn't at the field house. It was some smaller gym. But it was just a cool environment. It's this kind of, I mean, it looks like a big stepped up high school gym. Fans right on top of it. Texas came back and won a 3-2. I didn't watch all of it, but back and forth, kind of popping.
I had no idea.
That was part of the rotation last night.
I had no idea they broadcast volleyball.
Yes.
Well, good.
Yeah.
You want to opine? Take a few minutes?
No. We're good on that front.
Get a volleyball guest next week at some point?
Well, it is football season. If they played in the spring, that wouldn't be too bad.
But that's a good point. They're playing at the wrong time of year, right? To draw attention to that sport.
But anyway. Yeah, a lot of baseball last night, bouncing around and watching some different games. It's over, obviously, for the White Sox. And so we have the National League East, and that's it? That's all we have to worry about pennant race-wise?
Yeah. I don't even know if there's really anything captivating wild card-wise. I mean, it seems like the American League. Now, there's positioning.
Right.
But I don't think Baltimore can close on Seattle, who's not playing well right now, by the way. Meanwhile, the Phillies are 2.5 up on the Brew Crew.
Mm-hmm. Both teams finally won last night.
Well, the Brewers really needed the Jays to take care of business because Guerrero had a three-run home run late in that game. And I thought, oh, well, here we go. But then the bullpen couldn't hold it, and they lost in extras. I think the wild card teams have been determined, but so yes, it's the NL East.
Let's say we get to the final weekend and Phillies are in, Padres are
final
in.
Final weekend or final week?
Final
three.
Yeah, you're getting down to the end.
Mm-hmm.
you know you're in. Say the Brewers kind of fall down here. Both teams are locked into the playoffs, and that's a game and a half right now. But say they're tied or within a game of each other, the Padres and the Phillies. The difference between playing either the Braves or Mets in the first round, which the number 5 seed will, or playing the Cardinals, the number 3 seed.
Significant.
You'd obviously rather play the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to go on the road for the 3 games anyway, mm-hmm. so it's nothing to
And I don't think you're
that.
Saying that the Cardinals are an easy out, because I know you don't think they are.
I don't think so at all.
I don't think so
but
either.
In comparison to having to play,
you.
And especially if it is the Mets with that behemoth at the top with uh-huh. Scherzer.
Back-to-back behemoths
DeGrom
at the back.
Good,
at the top.
Good luck with that.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what that positioning is going to be like in... we're okay being the 6 seed as opposed to the 5
That's
this year.
True. You could see those wheels churning, mm-hmm. could you not? Baseball last night, maybe my biggest takeaway from baseball last night was Joey Votto.
Joey Votto?
Did you see what he did last night?
No, I didn't.
So Joey Votto, since he's at home, and Joey Votto put on a Barry Larkin jersey and went from section to section, sitting with fans, taking selfies and signing autographs. Of course, he's out for the year.
Yeah.
So there he's in a Larkin 11 jersey. Sitting up in the stands, I mean, what a great guy. What a great guy to do that, right? I mean, when was the last time you saw a major league player that wasn't wearing his uniform?
Yes.
But he's on
he
the
He's wearing the Barry Larkin jersey. I did
wearing,
see this.
He was on the Larkin
jersey. I don't know why. When you said Joey, it clicked in my mind, Joey Gallo.
Oh.
Did Joey Gallo do something? Yeah, Joey Votto. I saw that. That was a really cool moment. Just sitting there, watching an mm-hmm. inning with the kids.
Posing for one selfie with kids after another. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
Picture taken with them.
Yeah, Joey Votto is sitting down next to me. I'm going to take a selfie.
Absolutely. To Canadian lads, in my yes. case, if that was the situation.
But, really cool moment, though.
Yeah, and look, if he wants to, there's pretty clear path for him. Him and Adam Wainwright. Mm-hmm. These two guys are going to walk off the field, and if they want, and I don't know. I mean, these guys have made hundreds of millions right. of dollars, right? You don't need, don't you just walk off into the sunset?
But you want to stay around the game. You want to have something to fill your time.
Would you want to do that?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Even if you had, you know.
Well, I wouldn't want to do the grind of doing 145 games yeah, on TV mm-hmm. when you got that much money in the bank. You know, look at a guy like Justin Morneau. You really want to do it that often?
Yeah, I'm with you. That man, but he's in a good spot because the Twins, they've got a rotating cast
yes.
of analysts. So anyways, so I have a little predicament that I'd like to share with you.
Okay.
In hopes that there's a...
We got problems with Jet?
No, Jet's fine.
Okay.
Now,
okay,
Jet
good.
Barks too much, as the neighbors would tell you.
Uh-oh.
And there's nothing I can do to stop him.
Yeah?
I mean, there's nothing. I've tried to keep
him. Is he
going
to have to go to doggy school?
He just doesn't like it. He doesn't like anything but me or Cindy. That's the trouble with him.
Yeah.
But I did order him a little Jets jersey, so Dad and Jet are going to have our picture taken in Jets. And I think that's our Christmas card. I guess we'll superimpose Cindy into it. But back to my predicament. So middle of the afternoon yesterday, I'm in my office, you know, working away.
Mm-hmm.
Not really hard.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not digging a ditch.
No. But the internet shot craps.
Ah.
And my modem is cooked.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. And it's a bigger problem now because CenturyLink, and they're fine people, and I've always spoke so highly of you people, it's CenturyLink in Ankeny.
That makes one of us.
If somebody's available. We love CenturyLink.
Oh.
They can't get to the house until Wednesday. So I'm talking to some person in Omaha, mm-hmm. and he's setting up an appointment. Jeez. What's going on with CenturyLink and Ankeny? The earliest they're getting over there is next Wednesday.
Well, there's Thursday Night Football tonight.
This is my problem, Trent.
It's not available on 212.
No.
As we've talked about.
No, it's online only. I get the shakes when I have to stay off Twitter.
Yeah.
I honestly do. And I only have limited data, so you uh-huh. just can't spend all of your data. So I guess I'm at the mercy of a very kind CenturyLink Ankeny-based technician that happens to be driving around that has one of those modems that looks like kind of an oversized air freshener
uh-huh.
in the truck that can just stop it by.
So you're saying if there's a CenturyLink person out there that listens, I've talked to a few that do as they've stopped
at
my house. If you are, maybe look up Ken Miller's address on your little
just
device.
Maybe call during the break.
Well, that would work too. You need a new modem.
That's a really good plan. I never thought of that.
Yeah, right.
I didn't think of that. So keep going. You're on a roll.
So, yeah, give us a call.
Yeah.
284-5966.
I'll meet you there.
Ken lives in Ankeny.
He absolutely does. Otter Creek. It's northeast Ankeny.
Mm-hmm. And you just need a new modem.
Off and on 36th, and I think.
And there's already a work order in.
Yes.
So maybe you got a little
You might
extra
be
time.
Coming next Wednesday, so if you want to get ahead.
Yes.
You know, maybe
knock something off.
Right. Do it now as opposed to why put off now? No, what was it? Why? What's that saying? What you could do later? I don't know what it is.
I just know one in the hand's better than two in the bush.
Trent, the phone is ringing. Would you please answer this?
Yes, I will.
Please, please. Fingers crossed. It's you don't know what you got till it's gone, right? You don't know what you've got until all of a sudden you lose something like that. How much we use the internet. The crazy part about this whole thing, I don't know if I could do a show without a monitor in front of me to help to move along. Trent, we did shows. I did shows for 10 years before I had my first monitor in front of me.
Yeah.
How did I do that?
I wonder the same thing. I remember the exact same way. My first job, we didn't have a computer with internet in our studio.
There wasn't one.
When I started in 2003.
Until I got here.
Yeah.
This was the first time I saw a computer, and I'm thinking, wow.
Newspaper?
That's all you had.
USA Today, yep. And for me when I started, the Waterloo Courier.
Yeah.
I would go to the computer in the sales room, and I would print off 3, 4, 5 articles, something like that, yeah, to have for a little backup plan.
Larry Kotler would kill trees. I don't know what his weekly tree kill count was. He printed off everything.
That's what it was.
But he had the internet at the time, but he still printed.
That's what the world was.
God bless him.
You'll be all right. You'll be all right.
It's weird. You know, my wife says the same thing, that you probably need a break.
Yeah.
I think she's talking about from the internet.
From Twitter.
Maybe it's her that needs a break.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we're going to talk to Jeff. I like talking to Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping it was a CenturyLink guy.
It's not. 284-5966. If you're a CenturyLink technician, it can help out Ken Miller. He wants to watch football tonight.
Indeed. I mean, yes.
You can go to Jethro's?
No, I don't want to. I got to go out next Thursday.
You can go out to any sports bar.
I'm going out next Thursday. We're going to Clinton.
You want to watch football, right?
Well, there's college.
There is.
West Virginia, Virginia Tech.
But it's Illinois. The fourth quarter. Steelers, Browns are tight.
I know.
Well, it'll be past 8:30 at that point. You're not able to leave your house at that point.
Let's get Jeff in here. What's on your mind, Jeff? Welcome to the program. Jeff,
Trent, appreciate the call. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I'm curious about the Boston Celtics head coach and your guys' opinion.
Weird story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to make sure I got the facts right. So he had a relationship. It was consensual.
Yep.
With a staffer or a coworker.
Yep, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Now, what I was reading was in the contract, he has to let the Boston Celtics know if he's going to have a relationship with a coworker, which he did not.
That's like when you get caught for marijuana or something, uh-huh, and you don't have a drug stamp.
Yeah, the tax stamp.
I'm going to be selling a whole bunch of pot here or a whole bunch of drugs, but I'm here to get my stamp that allows me not to do that. Good point, Jeff.
So now what now I'm digging deeper into it, getting on the internet and Twitter.
I wish I could.
And now they're talking about, you know, if this was, you know, Pat Riley, or if this was Brad Stevens. Now we're talking, you know, we're getting into the race card because he's African-American. Mm-hmm. And if this was a white head coach. Now, if you're watching, you know, here's an example. If you're watching the Laker thing on Hulu, Jeannie Buss,
yeah,
and, you know, the relationship with Phil Jackson,
yeah,
they, you know, she told her dad before it got serious. So, but again, I'm curious what you guys think about this whole thing, and I don't know if you guys touched base on the Suns owner. That's a big, you know, bizarre.
No, it's a good story. This one's got a good ending because he's going to sell the team.
Yeah, get him out of there.
Correct. Right. I'll let you go, and I'm curious what you guys think about the head coach of the Celtics.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it, Jeff. I saw the story this morning.
I saw it last night, at the time, it was a Woj bomb.
Yeah.
And you're, what is happening?
Right.
There was no real details.
So he's having a consensual affair with a staff member of the Celtics. It didn't identify what that staff member does, correct?
Is it because the staff member is a subordinate? Could that be the reason that this becomes a bigger issue?
She's an assistant coach or a trainer?
Something like that. You know,
but on his staff.
Right.
That's prickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's prickly.
I mean, this is the Bobby Petrino deal that we talked about last week.
If she works in the front office, if she sells tickets, if she...
Mm-hmm. I think that's what maybe adds an extra layer to this.
If she's a subordinate, I agree with that. So as Jeff said, and I haven't read it, if you've listened to the show the first 15 minutes, you understand why. His contract stipulates he can't do that, or if he is going to have an affair, you have to tell ownership? Come on.
Well, there's a lot of those things.
Is he married?
I mean, in the corporate world, if you're working with somebody and you're starting a relationship, you got to go to HR and actually talk about it.
You do?
Oh, absolutely. You have to let them know if you're working together, if you're working as somebody.
Everywhere?
Not everywhere, but most major organizations. Yeah, absolutely. You have to let HR know we are starting a relationship. Got our love contract here. Got to let them know.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Different world, isn't it?
I'd have worn out a path to HR in my first marriage.
That's the likelihood of this. And, oh, by the way, Duca is also married to an actress, Nia Long. She was in Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, I know that. I knew that. You told me that before.
Yeah.
Last season, I think.
Nia Long and a longtime actress.
So how's this playing out at home?
Oh, not going to guess very well.
Huh. That it is weird. I'll give you that. So I did not know that.
But again, the details of it are starting last night when it was just facing a suspension, might be year long, all these different. Mm-hmm. What could it possibly be?
So did it go bad? Did it end bad or something?
I haven't seen those part of the details, but.
Is there a child on the way?
Well, you wonder, right? I mean, how did it get to this point? Mm-hmm. Again, but you also hear the word consensual because right away, I mean, if it's something where there's sexual assault involved.
Yeah, get them hell out of there.
Exactly. It was a consensual relationship.
Hmm.
Yeah. Weird story.
And apparently they're going to suspend him for the whole year.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
For having an affair. This is not illegal.
Right.
Not right by, you know, my boast.
Again, not assault.
Right.
A consensual relationship and suspended for a year? That seems like a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. One of the more odd stories, certainly here recently, I tried to figure out all the different pieces that come together on this one because on the surface, it was consensual.
So how does Woj get that type of story, right? I mean,
who knows?
Woj's got some contacts.
Yes, he does.
That's just wild. Different story. And as far as the Phoenix story, good. It's got a happy ending. It was awful to get to this point. This guy...
He's been an owner, too. I mean, the way that he has run that organization, he has
How
not
long
been well,
has he owned the team?
A decade.
Has
maybe,
it?
Yeah, a little longer than that, maybe even. Heard a lot of negatives, and then this one obviously took it.
Well, they had a negative last year because I thought that they were going to march through the Western Conference last year.
You had a financial stake in that.
2 years. 2 years ago, I had them at a big price when they got to the final, only to be dispatched by the Bucks. Anyways, all right, football conversation coming up. We're going to get into the NFL. We'll do a couple of our regional teams here today. Later on in the show, we're going to get you capped. We haven't forgot about the Vikings. Next week, promise, we're going to do some Viking stuff with either Paul Allen, if his schedule allows, or Dane Muzzitani from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. We'll catch up with the Vikings. Boy, there's a lot of people on this survivor pool, Trent, that are zeroing in on Minnesota this weekend over Detroit.
That's where I'm leaning to
Are you
for my
too?
Pick this week. Yeah, I think that's where I'm ultimately going to land. There's something about that Jaguars team. The Chargers are another one that would make a lot of sense.
But Herbert's not going to play.
He's not going to play. And the Jags have a little something.
They do.
They looked... Now,
have you seen Trevor Lawrence play the first... I've not seen him play.
I've seen some clips on Red Zone.
Have you?
But when they flipped over to that game. Outside of that, no. Nothing significant. I haven't watched, you know, 2-3 drives together, but... Well, he's got an adult now running things.
Yeah, by the sounds of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson, say what you will.
Well, you got
no
Super
quarterbacks.
Bowl.
Nick Foles,
right?
Won a Super Bowl.
And won a Super Bowl.
Yes,
he's got that big ring. Who does Jacksonville have this week?
It's the Chargers.
Chargers at LA.
Because a lot of people are also saying the Chargers would be a pick this week that you'd use in Survivor. I'm not going down that.
There's
path.
No Herbert. There's no Keenan Allen.
The Vikings are so much better when they're not in prime time. Mm-hmm. We know the numbers with Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I'm going to lean. You guys got a pick yet?
We've already submitted, or we're going to today. And we didn't want to. We took the Chiefs.
At Indianapolis.
That's a scary spot.
Back against the wall.
I'm with you.
I hate road teams. I despise taking a road team anytime in a Survivor contest.
The thought process was either the Chiefs, B, they've been off since last Thursday.
Extra time. I like that. It's a good angle.
So that came into play. The other game that we went back and forth was the Bengals. Because I don't think, speaking of back against the wall, I mean, they're 0-2.
They are.
And Burrow's starting to take some heat, and they play the Jets.
On the road,
true. And the Jets had a miraculous win last week. Come on.
They're not going to do it again.
I don't think so. Do you?
Well, Joe Flacco has hit the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah. I don't see 38 to hit that.
Is that
I think
what
he's
it is?
38.
Yeah.
Anyways, Dave Sinekin and Nick Athan in the next block. Lee Sterling still to come. I'm going to sit right here by this phone and try and send some good vibes to it. That CenturyLink tech is going to call me and say, yeah, I got 15 minutes to drop off a modem today. You're at Otter Creek Golf Course. Block away.
284-5966.
Do a guy a favor. Would it kill you? I've always spoke highly of CenturyLink. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Frisky Bros.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller with you until noon. Nick Athan coming up. Chiefs, Colts, they'll collide at noon. The Packers and the Buccaneers, that is the 325 game. Dave Sinekin is the headcheese.com. He joins us. You can read his work at zonecoverage.com, zonecoverage.com. Hello, Dave, Trent, and Ken. Thank you for coming on. Good to speak with you. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Looking forward to a big one this Sunday with a couple of Hall of Famers. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, indeed it will. About that crack last week that maybe there's a changing of the guard at the top of the NFC North. Can I have that one back?
You sure can.
Yeah.
You get a mulligan on week two.
I guess you do. Man, oh, man. Both teams look different, right? The Vikings couldn't get out of their own way, and the Eagles had a lot to do with that. And the Packers really took it to the Bears in the football game. What was the difference, Dave? Is it Rodgers, week one last year? We saw what happened against New Orleans. It's a different team this year, and he had some of his weapons back?
Well, I think getting Elgton Jenkins back at right tackle definitely solidified the right side of that offensive line, which got just manhandled by an average, I'd say, or at least kind of unknown Vikings defense because it's new and everything. So that was a big advantage, certainly getting Allen Lazard back too. But I just think, again, it's the Chicago Bears, an opponent that really rarely competes for 60 minutes against this team. They're confident. They came in pretty embarrassed by their opening performance, and Lambeau home opener. Again, I don't read too much into week one. I'm not going to read too much into week two. But for an offensive unit that is sort of questionable right now as it sort of evolves and works its way into becoming what it wants to be, certainly getting Jenkins and Lazard back allowed that running game to hum. And that's got to be the identity for this offense. I bemoaned to you last week that Aaron Jones got 8 touches in week one, and he's their most skilled player. He put the ball in his hands and let him work. And against Chicago, that was a mismatch. It's going to be a much tougher task against Tampa Bay. But I think just getting those guys back, getting the running game going, was the biggest difference in week two.
It was against a crappy Bears, so I don't know how much it really matters. But, Dave, seriously, Aaron Rodgers. So he's out again with McAfee, and he's doing his thing, and he's talking about his tea, and he's just doing all. At this point, I mean, you Packers fans, are you just out? Are you annoyed with him? Is it he is what he is, and we just have to allow it? I don't know. I've never had a quarterback like that to have to worry about that's actually good, but do you just take all the warts and the goofiness and the stupidness and the sanctimonious life that he leads and say, hey, he's a great quarterback, let him do what he wants?
Yeah, I've kind of learned as the years and decades go by to not care too much about the person. I'm speaking particularly now about what we've learned about Brett Favre.
Really?
He's 2 years, the guy that I just championed and loved to death when he was a Packer. So look, there's things I like about Aaron Rodgers. There's things that drive me crazy about Aaron Rodgers. But what I love about Aaron Rodgers is who he is when he steps between the lines every time Green Bay plays, and knowing that I'm going to see something at a level of play that very few fans get to see over a long period from their quarterback. So I'll take that every day and deal with the goofiness, the oddness. Ultimately, I guess I don't really care. I know that his teammates really like him, respect him, want to go to war for him, and I guess at the end of the day, that's really what matters when you like to follow the game of football.
Indeed it is. So injuries are still apparently pretty big issue with this football team as they get set to take on Tampa Bay, and you're right, the battle of one day, first opportunity, Hall of Fame quarterback. Bakhtiari, is he close? I know that all of the receivers have a Q beside their name. They're questionable, apparently. I think all of them, in fact, going into this game. What's the status report of those of the left tackle and of the wide receivers?
Well, we won't see David Bakhtiari this week. They're being really kind of quiet about it. Matt LaFleur said, I have no idea if he's going to play. And Rodgers was quick to really talk about how well Josh Nyman has done, and he has graded out really positively at left tackle. So I think they're being really careful. Look, is there a scenario where he never comes back? I think can't rule that out. It's been 20 months and counting since the ACL and subsequent follow-up procedures. It's obviously an injury that he has struggled to come back from. So that to me is a let's hope he's ready by, you know, when the weather starts to turn and he's on the field at the playoffs. I'm willing to be patient there because I think Green Bay does have a serviceable, if not, you know, even more than that, left tackle to replace him. As far as the receivers go, we'll know a lot more as they come out and practice here today and tomorrow. I mean, I think Sammy Watkins now, after a couple weeks of football, is going to be questionable for the rest of the season. That's just who Sammy Watkins is. Christian Watson coming out with a hamstring, probably not shocking because, you know, he's probably played more football the last few weeks than run more routes than he ran his entire career at NDSU, where they were a running football team, and his body's probably getting used to the volume. So I'm hoping that's not a major thing, but I think the issues Green Bay have at receiver are certainly up in the air, but I think on the other side of the ball, Tampa Bay's dealing with a lot bigger issues at wide receiver. So I don't know that that's going to be the big thing. To me, it's going to be if Green Bay's defense can match Tampa Bay's defense on Sunday, because I think those two units, when they're on the field, are going to be the better units. I think both offenses are going to struggle. Tampa Bay's defense seems to have Green Bay's number. At least that's been the case when they've met the last couple years. It's time for Green Bay's defense to stop missing tackles, start defending the run a little bit better. They look really good in spots, but against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, they're going to have to be a whole lot better.
You mentioned that, and that's kind of where I was going to go with you, Dave, these two defenses. And what concerns you most about the Buccaneers? They're flying around. They're making plays. And the headline's going to be Brady versus Rodgers, maybe for the final time. But this Tampa defense, what is the game plan for Green Bay to be able to move the football as well as they played 2 weeks in?
Tampa Bay has been really successful at rushing the passer against Green Bay without sending extra guys. They've averaged, I think, 4 or 5 sacks against Green Bay the two times they met in 2020. For whatever reason, the Packers' offensive line has always struggled against Tampa Bay, and that allows them to, you know, keep enough guys back to cover the back end. That secondary's gotten better. You know, Dean and Winfield and Davis, those guys are all pretty good, and they're going to look across the field and say, where's 17? You know, where's 83? Where are the guys that have given us trouble in the past? So, you know, Green Bay's going to have to be able to run the football. They're going to have to be able to use play action to loosen up that pass rush and allow Rodgers to kind of dink and dunk his way down the field. So, I think it's about trying to run the football, committing to it, not giving up on it if you fall behind, and certainly using both Jones and Dillon out of the backfield as receivers. I think both of them have a chance to have big days, partly because the wide receivers are banged up, but also because that aggressive pass rush by Tampa, I think, does open up some opportunities for the running backs if they can stay away from those quick athletic linebackers at Tampa Bay.
Last thing for you, Dave, to the NFC overall, it seemed like Tampa Bay, Green Bay, those are the two teams most people are, you know, putting toward the top of their power rankings. Usually there's an AFC team or two ahead of them. What you saw in the Eagles, and I know the Eagles and the Packers will play in Philly on Thanksgiving weekend on NBC to bring the curtain down on Thanksgiving weekend. Your thoughts on the Eagles real quick. Do you believe?
Well, I think if Jalen Hurts is going to be as decisive and confident and in control as he looked against Minnesota, then I definitely believe. You know, a week ago they allowed Detroit to score 35 points against them and get back into that game. So we always look at what we saw most recently.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota went into that game 1-10-1 in week twos on the road over the last 19 years. They're just a bad week two team when they're away from home for whatever reason. So I'm not going to read too much into Philly. I think they're obviously, they're very good up front on both sides of the ball, but if that quarterback has taken a big step, they're in the conversation in the NFC. But I'm not anywhere near ready to put them in the same breath as the top three teams like most power rankers are doing right now. I need a bigger sample size, but I'm really impressed with what I see from Jalen Hurts. And if he continues to ascend, then yeah, they have a chance to be up there with the big boys.
Interesting stat. Wish I would have known that week two on the road for the Vikings. That's
should have called me, man.
Wish I knew, Dave. Hey, thank you, Dave. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you. ZoneCoverage.com for Dave. ZoneCoverage.com. Chiefs Focus, where you can read Nick Athany. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs as they try to move to 3-0. Nick, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. This Colts team, right, they're backed into a corner. This is a team that a lot of folks thought was, look, somebody's going to win the AFC South. We don't think it's Jacksonville or Houston. Somebody's got to win it. They're one loss. Of course, they have a tie from week number one. It's a dangerous football team, but the Chiefs have that extra time. That's why I've got the Chiefs winning this football game. What's the biggest concern for you when you look at this Colts team and how they match up with KC?
Well, I think the biggest concern is the Chiefs have had a pretty poor history in Indianapolis. You know, I think Nick Foles, who happens to be the backup in Indy, was the quarterback that won the last time there. Alex Smith lost, and you know, in that playoff situation too. So, you know, they got to exercise a couple of demons in this game. But for me, you know, I think this is a huge trap game for Kansas City. You know, Matt Ryan can light it up. You got Jonathan Taylor, who's arguably the best running back. Naheem Hines, you know, a solid backup. You know, if Pittman is healthy, you know, that certainly helps their offense. I think they missed him a lot last week. Mm-hmm. Certainly Ryan did. But, you know, if the Chiefs play their game and they don't get off to a slow start like they did against the Chargers, then, I mean, they should win this game. Now, is it going to be a blowout? Maybe. But something tells me it's going to be a little bit closer, maybe midway through the third quarter, and then the Chiefs probably will, you know, put up 21 straight points and it'll be over with. But this is not a game I think the Chiefs are taking lightly. They're certainly not looking ahead to the Bucks, you know, Sunday night, week from Sunday night. So, you know, play your game, be smart, get out to a good start, and I think Kansas City will be fine.
They will do it without Willie Gay, their linebacker, and he is suspended for the next 4 days. Take us through kind of this scenario here and reading through. I don't know. It's a different kind of story than what we've seen. What, a vacuum cleaner that was broken, an argument, something like that. Fill us in on the details in the four games that he's going to be out.
Well, I think the issue is, you know, the NFL has a new czar. She's putting the hammer down on anything that's related to domestic violence.
Good.
Four-game suspension is going to be the minimum. I mean, that's just it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's changed. The NFL has a lot of heat on them. They certainly didn't handle the Deshaun Watson situation very well. He should have been suspended a heck of a lot longer than what they ultimately settled for. But, you know, Willie Gay, the thing that surprised me the most, guys, honestly, is, you know, this case was settled in the spring, and he's already suspended. Generally, it's at least a year, you know, before they hand out suspensions. Again, this is new policy in the NFL. Anything domestic violence related, you know, doesn't matter. It's going to be a minimum of 4 games, and more severe stuff's going to be longer, 8 or 12. And that's just the way it is. And you make a good comment. I mean, you're right. It's good. This needs to happen. Now, the circumstances might be a little different, but at the end of the day, you know, Darius Harris is the guy who's going to have to step up. He played terrific in the preseason. He's earned his shot. I think they're going to be okay at that position. I think, you know, he can blitz. He can cover. He's got good speed. Is he Willie Gay? No. But he's good enough for the next 4 weeks, even though the Chiefs are going to be facing some stiff competition, that I think he can fill in just fine. And if he gets some really good experience, well, then they got an extra body that's going to help him down the road.
Nick, last thing for you as we take a look at this conference overall. Boy, it sure seems to me, and I get it, there's a lot of football left to be played, and it's a contact sport. But, man, it seems like the Chiefs and the Bills, and then there's a gap till that next day AFC team. And I desperately wanted to put the Chargers on that list because I believe in this team. Mm-hmm. But, man, the Bills and the Chiefs, they're opening eyes, are they not?
Yeah, they are. They're the best two teams in football, period.
I think you're right.
The NFC, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I think if NFL fans could have these teams play 3 times every year, they'd love it.
Yeah.
You know, and someone's going to probably go 2-1. And what I think's great about it is, you know, these are probably the two from top to bottom best run franchises right now in the NFL. They're smart. They've got good leadership. They've got good ownership. They've got good vision. They've drafted well. They signed free agents. They've kind of just put a complete roster together. And for the first time in probably, certainly in the Beach era, this is the best football team that the Chiefs have top to bottom. This is the best Bills team I think they've had top to bottom. But they're going to duke it out. You know, the Chargers, they're going to lose to the Jaguars at home this weekend. I'm telling you right now, put it on the board. It's going to happen because I don't think Herbert's going to play. If he does, I think that's just unwise.
Yeah, he's not. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, so listen, these are the best two teams. There's nobody else that's close to them right now. There's some good stories, and there's some great – I mean, it's been a great first 2 weeks of the NFL. Anything's possible, we've seen already. But these guys are on a collision course to win a Super Bowl, and I haven't seen anything yet. It's only been 2 weeks, that's going to tell me that one of these two teams is not going to be Super Bowl champion.
Miami-Buffalo this weekend, kind of a sneaky spot. It is a big spot. Nick, great stuff. Thank you, as always, for doing this.
Sure.
I think it's going to be a tight game. I do. I think the Chiefs will prevail, but I think that this is got to be a hungry Colts team. I mean, Matt Ryan's got to have something left, doesn't he? She hasn't looked like it the first 2 weeks.
No, he didn't. But again, if Pittman plays and he practiced limited yesterday, then there's that helps that.
That's a difference.
Quite a bit. If he doesn't play, I don't think the Colts really have much of a chance.
ChiefsFocus.com is where you can read Nick Athey. You still involved Primetime Sports Talk as well?
Yep. Still running the show there as well, so I'm expanding the brand.
You're wearing a lot of hats, and we appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Nick. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, guys.
Good to talk to you. Nick Athan at Chiefs Focus on Twitter and ChiefsFocus.com. We will take a timeout. Lee Sterling's got a handful of games, so just real quick. You know what I just had dropped off at the house?
Oh, yeah?
A modem.
Oh, yeah. There was somebody that called and said they were going to be able to help you out. Now you got to set it up.
Thank you.
You got this figured out.
Well, I don't know about that.
Am I going to be getting a phone call?
You may.
Okay.
My wife's really handy.
Is she?
Oh, she really. She does all the stuff.
Yeah. Same thing at our house.
She painted our garage, our inside, ceiling and everything.
That's great.
When she was, I don't know, 58. There she is.
You made a good choice.
Oh, I'll say. Anyways, we'll take a time out. Thank you to CenturyLink. Good people.
You've been saying it for years. Highly
of him. Absolutely. We'll take a time out. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. He joins next. Look forward to catching up with his. Got a handful of games to opine about. Pete Futek and David Kaplan in hour two. Miller and Claxons. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.1.
Set up an appointment.
Then we're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Take you until noon. Pete Futek on college football. That starts hour number two. David Kaplan. We will head to Chicago. Right now, Lee Sterling joins us, as he does each and every Thursday in this time slot throughout football season. ParamountSports.com is where you can find Lee. He'll also got a phone number for you. He's going to opine on a handful of games and his game of the week. Lee, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm good. I, you know, had a great time going to College Station. Now, the result wasn't what I would have liked, but the atmosphere, just watching the core 3,000 of them march into the stadium, and they stand all the entire game, all 4 hours. So, incredible atmosphere, 107,000 fans. So, something, if it's not on your bucket list, add it.
Didn't go well for your Hurricanes, and Yankees also got the cover on top of it, as it was, I think, six was the closing number in that one. But we got new games this week, and Lee, I'm very interested because all four of the college games this week that you have on the tap for us, I have an opinion on all four of these. Let's kick it off in the Big 12. Oklahoma looked great last week after that opening drive against Nebraska, against Kansas State,
prime time
falls to Tulane. 12.5 is the number. Sooners favorite at home.
So I was in Austin watching the game, and I'm sitting with an Oklahoma grad, and he looked at me when it started, looked like he had seen a ghost. And then they somehow adjusted. And now we're finding out this coaching staff is for real. Jeff Lebby, everyone thought he was good on offense, but Ted Roof, the game plan he devised in that game was extraordinary. I think they believe in themselves, and now with Dylan Gabriel and all those weapons on offense, plus the defense firing on all cylinders, even the special teams, they're in great shape. In Kansas State, things started off great, but now we're finding out Adrian Martinez is who he thought he was. So I just think Arizona State Kansas State can't throw the ball efficiently here. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. I like Oklahoma big here. 41-20.
A lot of interest in this game. Big Ten tilt. Minnesota, maybe the team now to beat in the Big Ten West. They're a 2.5-point favorite over Sparty Michigan State.
Yeah, bad spot for Michigan State last week, traveling cross-country and just did not start well in that game. But they played hard to the end. And I think they're in a better spot here. Now, Gophers, number two rated offense, number two rated defense, off to a quick start here. Three dominant wins, but winning in East Lansing is a totally different animal. Minnesota passing attack here, going to be without Chris Altman-Bell. That's going to be challenging here. And I just think the Michigan State running attack is going to get it going here. Home crowd, maybe special teams being the advantage too. I like Michigan State here. I think the wrong team's favored, 28-24.
I like the sound of that one. We go out to Rutgers in New Jersey. We'll get to see Paulie Walnuts and Sill and the rest of the crew out there in the stands as the Hawkeyes make their way out. Iowa favored by 7.5.
Yeah, quarterback play for Rutgers has really been way below par. Gavin Wimsatt.
It's the same with Iowa.
Evan Simon, not done the job. Noah Vedral might come back, but even if he's healthy, I don't know if it's much of an upgrade here. Iowa scores just 13.7 points per game while allowing 4.3. They did score 27 against Nevada, but Nevada's defense is absolutely atrocious. They have a couple guys in their two deep that are walk-ons. Iowa, though, plays better on the road. 16-8 against the spread run on the road. 26-1 as a road favorite here. And Rutgers, just 1-7 against the spread as a home dog since Greg Schiano returned. I like Iowa. Barn burner, 17-6.
All right. The Cyclones are at home as they open Big 12 play against, in a lot of people's mind, maybe the favorite in the Big 12 in the Baylor Bears, the defending champs. The Clones are about a field goal favorite, Lee.
Yeah. Iowa State's offense is functional. Their defense might be good, but still not tested yet. Baylor played way too conservative on offense against BYU. They need to open it up. They were flagged 14 times for 117 yards in that game. I thought the officiating was poor. Maybe some friendlier refs here could help. Plus facing maybe a less complicated offense in Iowa State here. Dog 11-2 against the spread in the series. And Baylor 16-5 against the run here as an underdog. I'm going with the underdog here. I like Baylor 27-23.
Going with the Bears. We wrap it up with an NFL pick. The Battle of the Bays, Tampa Bay and Green Bay. Bucks favored by 2.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay could be without three receivers. We know Mike Evans not going to play, it looks like, because of suspension. Chris Godwin and Julio Jones are game-time decision. And, you know, he lost Gronk, his safety valve at tight end. The offensive line is down 4 starters. Yeah, they beat Dallas and New Orleans by a combined 13 points. But this is a different animal here playing Green Bay. After the first week, nothing went right. They were surprised by the Minnesota play calling and offensive sets. But now they're getting possibly their entire offensive line back. And Aaron Rodgers, he's developing some cohesion with the receivers and maybe the best 1-2 punch here running back. Wrong team favorite again. Give me the Pack here, 27-20 over Tampa Bay.
Interesting. Well, your game of the week is also an NFL affair. It's the Chiefs against a hungry Colts team. They're not 0-2, but they're 0-1, and they've got a tie as well. So 0-1-1. If the folks want more information, Lee, how do they reach you?
Just go to ParamountSports.com. How about this special? They can get not 4 weeks, not even 5. Sometimes we throw in an extra week. 6 weeks. It's a 6-week Super Saver package through October 31st, just $397. This is our executive phone service. Like I said, 6 weeks where we rate the selections from 10 to 50 units, and we've had 5 out of 6 winning weeks. So you want to come on board, $397 through October 31st. ParamountSports.com, and always check out the website. We've got some free pick videos. We've got some huge games going on this week in college football. Clemson, Wake Forest, Tennessee, Florida, Texas A&M, Arkansas. Check all those free pick videos. They last about 2 minutes in length. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Talk to you in a week, Lee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. So, did he change your mind? Is he on the same side you are at all?
We have just one agreement.
Really?
In those 4 games. The only agreement that we have is Michigan State against Minnesota.
But so you like the Clones?
I like Iowa State.
You like Rutgers?
I do like Rutgers. And I like K-State.
And the 12.5.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of points in that game. K-State, we know they got upset last.
They'll bounce back.
I think so, too. That's the game I'm watching Saturday night, in addition to Iowa-Rutgers.
Sure.
There's an hour separation amongst the
two. Well, and there's only so much punting you can watch, right?
There's going to be lots of it.
Circa's working on a perpetual
they really
prop,
are?
Yeah.
Is Palm going to tell us at this time tomorrow when
Let's
he joins
hope
us?
That it's up there. Total punts versus total points.
Unbelievable. Hour 2 next, 106.3 KXNO.